This feels like that long, awkward pause as we're getting ready. I was thinking about what Adam was saying about there not being the streaming service. So you guys have an extra responsibility. Now, while he says, you got to tell people you should have been there, I want you to think about throughout this week when people ask, or hopefully they ask, what was the sermon about? I want you to try to remember what it was about. Hopefully, I'll do my job to make it memorable enough. But I'm one of those people, anybody else like me, I have a hard time remembering names. Like, I could get somebody's name first thing. And so one of the tricks I've learned is, like, as soon as you meet someone and you ask their name or they tell you their name, repeat it back to them. So, like, say, I'm Peter, and say, hi, Peter. So I want to give you a little bit of a trick today. I'm going to be talking about, basically, I can summarize the message in three words, okay? And I'm going to say them. And we're going to try this, and you're going to repeat them back to me, okay? Experience, express, and exhibit. Okay, we're going to talk about that. Now, obviously, I have some things set up. One of the things, this is a strategic table, because I've realized I get so excited and passionate when I'm preaching that I was getting closer and closer to the edge of the table. I just want to reach out and grab a hold of you and say, are you getting this? And I think last time I was almost so close to the edge I was going to fall off. So this is kind of my buffer, a little guardrail here to keep me. But today, the sermon title is Fruit Loops. Now, I got to give you a little bit of background here. This is a message I did a couple months ago, I think, at Sussex Christian Reformed in the evening. And I think a few weeks ago, someone mentioned here that was like they were recommended that they had to listen to that message, okay? And throughout this week, I've been reading through Ezekiel. And every once in a while in Ezekiel, it just has this verse. And it's the whole verse, and it says, the message from the Lord came to me. And so I had that in the back of my mind. And then last week at church, the pastor said you had that meet and greet time. And we're supposed to introduce ourselves, say hi to someone, shake hands, and tell them your favorite cereal. So we were going around, and most of the people around me didn't eat cereal. And then afterwards, the pastor gets up and says, by the way, the answer to that question is Fruit Loops. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I get it. I know what you want me to share when I come to church here today in Goshen. So talking about Fruit Loops. But you see, another thing about memory is sometimes we remember things that never happened. Has it ever happened to you? I was talking with my dad, and we always like to sit down at the table and talk about stories of growing up. And he was sharing a story that I remember expressly happening, except he remembers it totally different than I did. Okay? And so I want to share with you about a passage that I think I've read several times, but I always read it differently. So I want just to start off with, I know most of you know about the fruit of the Spirit. If you've been going to church for a while, you probably in Sunday school as a little kid, you had the fruit of the Spirit. So I want to read that passage from Galatians to start out with. I'm going to read Galatians 5:19 through 26. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Now, I was working in a youth ministry. I was a youth group leader in Pennsylvania. And I had my first, it was the energy drinks that the kids like. They gave me my first Monster drink. And I was like, oh, this tastes like blue cotton candy. And all the kids laughed at me. They're like, you do realize that there's no different flavors and different colors of cotton candy. I was like, I don't know, it just tasted like blue cotton candy. I come to realize a few months ago, we were talking about this, and I was talking with my son, and the similar conversation came up. It's like, you know what? Fruit Loops are all the same flavor. I was like, what? Like, I thought the red ones were tasted like cherry, and the yellow ones were like banana. No, they're all the same flavor, just different colors. And I was like, oh, man, that's it. My childhood is ruined. My entire childhood was a lie. That's it. Therapy, you know, that's beyond first world problems. That's like deeper issues. No wonder we have trouble trusting people, right? But think about that. And I started to realize this, that relates to this passage. Because if you notice when I read it, there's a very specific word that sometimes I don't know if we always catch. The fruit of the Spirit is. You know, sometimes I've read it and I've always thought of, you know, get this image of like a cornucopia, a whole bunch of different fruits laid out, right? And one fruit is love and one fruit is joy and one fruit is peace. And yet, what it says there is not that there are different fruits, but there is one fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is. And I think that is so powerful if we really peel back the layers on that. Because, you know, in our own strength, maybe for a while, we can exhibit or we can muster up some love. Or we can, you know, we can bring ourselves some joy or happiness if things are going right. And yet the Bible specifically tells us it's not a little bit of this or a little bit of that. It's not, okay, you're a naturally happy person, so you have the fruit of joy, but me not so much. No, the fruit of the Spirit is all these things together. I was reading my son the book, the Dr. Seuss book, The Lorax, and it has the Onceler, right? And he's saying at one point in that story, he says, you know, he's talking about the Lorax. Describe him? I don't know if I can. He's oldish and shortish and brownish and mossy. His voice was squeaky and whiny and brash and bossy. You know, and thinking about that, all those descriptor words were of one person. It's the same with the fruit of the Spirit. You pick up an apple, and then how would you describe this apple? It's round, it's red, it's juicy, it's sweet, it's crisp. And please forgive me as I'm continuing to chew while I talk. I know I was raised better. I apologize, y'all. But it's that idea. The fruit of the Spirit is all these things together. It's a combination of them all at once. And the beauty of it is when you really think about what this passage of Scripture is about, okay? It's about the evidence of God working in your life. The evidence that God is at work in your life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And as I was reading this, and I have the blessing and the privilege. For one, it's that beautiful gift that I have, you know. We each have our own gift. And as I believe it's 2 Peter says, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, to know what your gift is. Because it's something beautiful to share. Mine is that I can just sit there and come up and see these things, have these revelations. God gives me these messages and these images. And I was walking around the barn like I usually do and just kind of praying and talking and thinking about the Scripture. And I realized like this, there's a classifications here, little groups. And they work their way outwards. If we're thinking about the image of a fruit. Any of you ever go to 4-H? And grew up, you know, the 4-H pledge. I pledge my head to clear thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, my health to better living. And we always had to do the hand motions to my club, my community, my country, my world. And it's thinking about that. And in this passage, there are loops. There are fruit loops looped together as we work from the inside of the fruit out. You know, I liken it to when Jesus talked to the disciples and he commissioned them in the book of Acts. And he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so as we think about this, I realize that there's nine fruit of the Spirit, and we can put them into three different groups. And we start with that center, that love, joy, and peace. And when you think about these are the things that we experience in God. That we experience love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. We love because we have experienced his love. That first loop is that the pit, you know, that center part. You ever cut open a peach and you got that pit of the peach? And that's really in our heart. In the fruit of the Spirit, it really starts with that seed. Because, you know, when you think about the whole meaning of fruit, the purpose of fruit in the world is for reproduction, right? And so that fruit, that seed is that central part, but it starts there in our hearts. We need to experience it. We can only love and only truly love as Jesus loved when we are continually experiencing his love. You ever find yourself lacking a little bit in affection towards the people around you? That's a great way to stop and say, wait a minute, am I spending time in prayer, in the presence of God, just experiencing and allowing myself to experience the love of God? Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy. Love, joy, and peace. The kingdom of God is not so much about what we do, but what we experience, the peace and the joy and the love of God. When we start experiencing that and bathing ourselves in that one, that is really the center of who we are. That's the core of our being. Those are our deep values. That's when we know we're getting into that first loop, that first fruit loop, that first experience of love. It all starts with an experience, experiencing the goodness of God. Experiencing that revelation, you know, thinking about it came to my mind that I began to understand and grasp and comprehend how much God loved me, that he was willing to send his one and only son to die a brutal, humiliating, painful death. That, when we think about it, is amazing love. I tell my sons, it's like that aha moment. Because it can be a story, yeah. But when you really get the love of God and you begin experiencing, when you really understand that, you know, when Jesus was at the cross, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy that Jesus had before him was knowing that you and I could have a relationship with him. That was the joy. He was so enamored with the thought that we would be able to enter into a relationship with him because of what he was doing. That was why he went to the cross. That's why he endured it. And think about that. He loves me and he's happy with me. He's experiences joy about me. And I experience joy in that. We experience that love, that joy, and that peace with God. That forgiveness. I think there's two things that are amazing in our lives when we really get to experience things that the gifts of God. The first is that experience of forgiveness, that we are forgiven for all the mistakes and the sins and the things we've done. The second is permission. When you go from beyond forgiveness, but permission to be who God created you to be, oh, that is so freeing, isn't it? And we talk about this, and I want to make sure that I'm clear on this, because we're talking about that first loop, that experience, and it's about the pit, and it's about reproduction, but I want you to know that you were not saved to reproduce. God did not save you to put you to work. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Elsewhere in the Bible, it says, it's for freedom's sake that you have been set free. God saved you so that you could experience his love, experience the joy of the kingdom, experience. And guess what? out of that experience, out of that pit, out of that fruit loop, then the stuff, everything else will come naturally. You know what the human condition is? We try to do everything backwards. We try to work on our outside stuff. We try to force ourselves to be better people. But yet in the fruit loops, in the kingdom of God, it starts at the center, experiencing that pit. That's how the fruit forms. It starts and it works its way out. But then we go into that second loop. It's the loop of that flesh, right? That meat, the what we express, that patience, kindness, and goodness. And you know what I realized in this? This is when we need the church. This is when we really need to live and work in community, to be against each other, because this is not so much our center, our who we are inside, but this is these things, patience, kindness, and goodness, are what we need other people to disrupt us and to get to us, to get past that veneer in order to see if they're really there, right? Jesus said, you will know a tree by its fruit. And so I was thinking about this. You know, have you ever went to the store and got bananas? And you get bananas and you think, okay, that's still good. Like, it's still yellow on the outside, maybe a couple of flecks of brown. And then when you open it up, it's all brown and mushy on the inside. And you're like, I don't know about any of you. I cannot eat a brown, mushy banana. Like, you know, they're great for banana bread. You can save them for that. But when they get all brown and mushy, and it's so deceiving, isn't it? They look fine on the outside. But when you peel back the layers, peel back the skin, and that's so much like in our lives. You know, we can look good on the outside. We can have that skin. But I'm talking about that second loop, that meat, that flesh. You know, even what the Bible calls our human nature, the flesh nature, that inner part that gets kind of mushy. And no one notices it until we get disrupted, until we get inconvenienced, until something pokes us or peels back that layer. We can all wear a halo when things are going great, right? But when life gets a little rough, when someone says something we don't like, when we're offended, that's when we begin to express that second loop, the expression of what's really inside, what we can't, you know, cover up. When we peel back that skin of the banana, what's really going on? You know, we have the best intentions in our heart, but are we expressing really that fruit loop, that expressing the fruit, the evidence that God really is at work in our lives, that he really is working on us? Are we able to love others when they are difficult to love? When we think about, I think about Jesus on the cross. You know, he gave us this picture. He's nailed there. He's hanging by nails through his wrist. He is bleeding, he is beaten, he is bloody. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And you know, when he was pierced for our transgressions, that's what came out. And is that what we're expressing? Are we expressing that loop of patience, kindness, and goodness? You know, everything is going great. What do you say when someone cuts you off in traffic? God bless them. I hope they don't get hurt, or I hope they don't get into an accident in their rush, in their hurry. Is that our natural reaction? But the evidence that God is working on us and working in our lives, and again, this is not something that just happens overnight, okay? This is something that takes time. In fact, I want to read to you a passage, because sometimes we can have our programs and we can have, you know, our system set up. This is how it has to happen. But I want to tell you a story that Jesus told in Mark chapter 4, 26 through 29. And he said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or get up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. I don't know if I can really give you a how seed grows. I don't know if I can really give you a system on how to express patience, kindness, and goodness. Even a farmer knows, okay, I know the seeds grow, but how? I was thinking about onions, right? How do onions grow? Do they grow from the inside out? Do the layers come on? Do they grow from the outside in? But how? It says, all by itself the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Again, you're having these loops, these progressions. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. God is going to work in your lives in ways that you will not understand, especially in this aspect, this fruit, this expression of patience, kindness, and goodness. We have that saying, right? Never pray for patience. Because what's going to happen? God will put you in situations to test your patience, to have you work on your patience, to build that muscle of patience. This is the process that we go through, the evidence that God is working in our lives in the loops. First, experiencing his love, joy, and peace. And then in life, when life gets rough, expressing patience, kindness, and goodness as we have the Holy Spirit within us, reminding us, nudging us, you know, getting that word of conviction when you go to church and the pastor says something, you're like, that was for me. You know, I used to hear a pastor, he would talk and he was like, if you understand what I'm saying, if it's resonating with you, say yes or amen, you know, or amen or ouch, right? Sometimes we get that amen, yeah, I agree, yeah, great sermon. And then there's other times when, you know, when a pastor walks out and nobody says anything, maybe that was the best sermon, right? As long as people didn't fall asleep. But when it really hurts you, that's when there's the evidence that God is working in your life, the fruit of the Spirit, when we need to express that patience, that kindness, and that goodness. And then that third loop, that skin. What we exhibit to the world, the gentleness, the faithfulness, and the self-control. You know, what does everyone see? What is your reputation in the world? You know, very often it says your reputation precedes you, right? The kind of person that you are when people don't even know you. You know, 1 Timothy 3:7, talking about elders and deacons, but I believe it's applicable to all of us. It says, he must also have a good reputation, not just in the church, but with outsiders. I want to ask you a question today. What is your reputation in the community? What is your reputation, not in here, not around the people who know you the most? Oh, he's got a good heart, he's got good intentions, but he's a real jerk about it. What is your reputation in the community? He must have a good reputation so that he will not fall into disgrace. And that's that skin, that outward reputation. When people would describe you, what would they say about you? That you are gentle, faithful, and self-controlled. You know, I struggled growing up, and especially when I got married. My wife would say that I had what was known as the Vaughn temper. You know, a little bit of anger issue. I think it was less anger, more rage, because the only way I knew how to express it was to yell. You know, that's all I'd learned growing up. And so, but we say, I'm just, you know, self-righteous and angry. Oh, I'm blunt, you know, I'm honest. And when people say, he's not blunt, he's just rude, right? What is your reputation? And not what you say about yourself, but what about others say about you? And a lot of times, you know what we do? We think we can hide. You know, I think a lot of us really think that. But you ever heard the expression, he wears his heart on his sleeve? I really do believe to some extent we wear our heart on our sleeves. We give off, you know, this vibe or this aura. You ever have someone who walks into a room, they could not say anything, and it's almost like the temperature in the room dropped 3 degrees as soon as they walked in? You know, that's that outward skin. That's something, that vibe that we give off. And you think about even just looking at someone. You know, it's interesting when you think about it. You know, dogs and kids seem to know, right? They seem to know when a person is like, you know, there's something off about that person. But even just how people look at, how you look at people. And you can look at someone and say, do they have gentle eyes? Or are they always stern and looking so critical? Do they have a natural upward tilt to their mouth? Or do they have what that RBF, that resting bothered face all the time? They always look like they're angry. You know, so what is your reputation? What is your skin? But I think there's also a beauty in that when you think about it, is that you were created unique. You know, I have all these different fruit up here, right? We have the banana, we have the apple, we have the pear. Does everyone know what this is? That's a dragon fruit. I love making smoothies with my seven-year-old, and my wife is, you know, she's the opposite of a vegetarian, so she doesn't even know what most of these are. But I was thinking about it. This is a beautiful yet unique fruit. And again, going back to that, you know, understanding and experiencing the forgiveness of God. But on that skin layer, when you have that permission, when you feel like you are whole, that you are accepted, you can show people however God made you. You can show your natural skin, your God-given skin. You can show your authentic self. You know, a lot of times what we can do if we're insecure is we think, oh, to be a Christian, I have to look this way or look that way. So we try to put a banana peel over top of who God created us to be. We say, I don't fit in and I need to be. But no, be the person God created you to be. You don't have to, you know, dress this way or talk this way or talk that way. That's not about the evidence of God working in your life. It's, are you showing, are you exhibiting gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? That's really what it matters about. Once you've experienced that first loop, the love, joy, and peace of God, when you get around people in difficult situations, and as you mature, you've learned to express, even in the hard times, that patience, that kindness, and goodness, and even on the outside, what you exhibit just to the rest of the world. Maybe not that you're the most educated, maybe you're not the most wealthy, maybe you're not this or that, or what everybody else thinks is important, but you, what you exhibit to the world is that you are gentle. You are faithful. You say you're going to do something, and then you follow through and do it. And you are self-controlled. You're not just flying off at the handle. That you just like, okay, things are under control. And when you have that, you are exhibiting in all areas, in all three loops, the flavor, the essence, the evidence of God working in your life. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And I could stop there, and it would be a great message, right? All right, nobody's really jumping at the fact that they want me to stop. That's always a good sign. But okay, how do we experience? Sorry, man, I'm gonna need to get a new microphone. How do we experience this in our lives? And I realize it first starts off with connecting with God. You know it well. In John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no, what? Fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Remain in me. As I remain in you, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit unless you are connected to the vine of Jesus Christ. Stay connected. Remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Again, the evidence of God at work in your life is that you are naturally and supernaturally producing fruit. You don't have to try. You don't have to do this. You don't have to force yourself to muster it up. You know what an apple tree produces? Apples. Okay, stay with me here. Stay with me. You know what a watermelon tree produces? Watermelon, right? And think about this. You know the story of, say you're holding a cup of coffee, right? And somebody bumps into you. What's going to spill all over you? Hot coffee, right? You know why hot coffee spilled on you? There's a percentage of you that are going to think in your mind right now because somebody bumped into you. But the reality is, the reason hot coffee spilled on you is because that's what was in the cup. If that cup was full of ice cold water and they bumped into you, you know what you would have spilled on you? Ice cold water, 10 times out of 10. The evidence of God working in our lives is that we are producing this fruit supernaturally in our lives because we stay connected to the vine. Because we keep going and are involved in the process. We're testing. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Take a taste of your life. Have you ever asked somebody, hey, how would you describe me? How would you, you know, what would you say about me? What are my best qualities? What are my worst qualities? You need to be ready for that, right? You know, make sure you're prepared. Kind of brace yourself for the impact. But to acknowledge, am I really experiencing, am I really exhibiting, do I really have the evidence of God working in my life? That love, joy, and peace. That you can know on your own. You can be full of joy, but ask people around you, am I really expressing when life gets tough, the patience, the kindness, and the goodness? And ask people, what is my reputation? What do people say about me who maybe don't even know me that well? Would they say gentle, faithful, and self-controlled? Stay connected to the vine. Taste and see if God is really good in your life. And again, just keep going back to Him. Allow Him to flow through you. Allow Him to do His work. Allow Him to express Himself through you, so that you can have the evidence, the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Would you pray with me today? And God, now I'm hungry. But as I think about that, Lord, let us all be hungry for more of you, for more of the evidence of you in our lives. May it not be just the songs we sing on Sunday. May it be the experience that we have, because throughout the week, we make time to connect with you, to just experience the love, joy, and peace of the kingdom of God, of you with us. Help us to be mindful that the next time we're inconvenienced, we're disrupted, we're disturbed, to realize that may be your hands at work in our lives, helping us work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that you're working in us so that we can exhibit and produce the fruit, the evidence of you in our lives, to see what's really going on, to address it, to come back to you in prayer, to be healed in order to move forward, to become more like you, which is our greatest desire. Make that our greatest desire. And let us be mindful in all of our interactions, both inside and outside of the church, inside our homes and outside our homes, that we are called to exhibit, to be ambassadors to the world for you, and to exhibit you so that when they look at us, when people look at us, they see you shining through. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you would allow this message to truly sink into our hearts, that it would become a part of our expression in life. Amen.